Hello and welcome home. You're listening to the Tribe Abuja podcast. We hope this message inspires and encourages you to know and make known the truth and love of God the Father as expressed through His Son, Jesus. Let's listen to the message.
We're going to read from Luke 2, 9 to 11. Luke 2, 9 to 11. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Amen. Father, we thank you as we go into the word. We pray that your spirit speaks to me, through me, for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you grab your seats, can you just tell the person beside you, "I'm really grateful that you're sitting beside me." All right. Okay, so we are starting a new series, very short series, kind of like a mini series this month. And it is called Jesus. 2 years ago, we did a series called Jesus, and we went through the book of John. We did the I am statements of Jesus. I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the light of the world. I am the true vine. There are two more. I am the door of the sheep, and I am the good shepherd. Amen. We went through it, and it was an amazing series. And today, what we are going to start doing is to know more of Jesus. We want to go through what theologians call the offices of Christ. The offices of Christ. Amen. And we're going to be looking at that and how that relates to us and why that is important. So as we go through the book of Luke, we see here, and I chose this particular text because, you know, it's Christmas season, and we see that the angel announced the coming of the Savior, and particularly here to the shepherds. And he said he'll be born in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Who is Christ the Lord? How many of us know that Christ is not Jesus' surname? Christ is not Jesus' surname. It is the Greek for what? Anointed. Everyone say it with me. Anointed. Anointed. Christ is the Greek word for anointed. Amen. So it was basically Jesus the anointed. Amen. So Jesus was seen as anointed. And what does that mean? Anointed of what? Anointed for what? Right? We're going to see very... So spoiler alerts, maybe from the screen or from our social media. He was anointed as priest, as prophet, and as king. But not just as any other priest, prophet, and king. We'll see that he was the one that... all other priests, all other prophets, all other kings wanted to be like, or where should I say, aiming to be like. Glory to God. So in the book of Luke, Jesus' journey, I encourage you to read the book of Luke. Very beautiful story, quite detailed by Dr. Luke. So what Luke tried to capture is he showed how Jesus was born of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Just like us, we are children of God and we are born of the Spirit. Jesus was born of the Spirit, and as he grew, he meets his cousin who had become John the Baptizer, and he approaches John the Baptizer. John tells him, "I'm not worthy to baptize you." Jesus says that we ought to do it for righteousness' sake. But we are told in Scripture that as Jesus comes out of the water, the Holy Spirit descends upon him in the form of a dove. Amen. And the heavens open and the voice says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Then we are told in chapter 4 that the Spirit of God leads Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He comes out, and the Bible tells us he comes out in the power of the Holy Spirit. But further down chapter 4, he goes into the temple. He asks for the scroll of Isaiah, and he opens to what we now call Isaiah 61. And he says The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And he reads the first three verses. Amen. He reads the first three verses and he says, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. So basically he was saying that prophecy of Isaiah, you are looking at the prophecy fulfilled. Glory to God. He was basically saying that the anointed one, all the prophets have been pointing to. What's happening? Am I safe? I've done small boxing. Okay. He says, everything that the prophets have been pointing to, everything the prophets have been pointing to, I am the fulfillment of that prophecy. So that's why we now see in the New Testament, Jesus is, we see Jesus walk in the fullness of the office of the prophet, the fullness of the office of the priest, and the fullness of the office of the king. But why though? Why do we see these offices, right? In the Old Testament, we see people anointed, but they are anointed for special tasks. So in the first person we see anointed with the Holy Spirit is a man called Bezalel in Exodus. And he, God just gives him the task because he's a creative and he tells him how to design the Ark of the Covenant and all these other things, right? But in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, we see three offices that God wanted to use to mediate relationship with his people and himself. And that's where this word is also very important. Everyone say with me, mediator. Mediator. So mediators were anointed in the Old Testament, in the Old or under the Old Covenant, to perform special duties or special tasks. So we see prophets were anointed. The first one we see, Moses, right? Who was the greatest prophet. God chose him to liberate the nation of Israel. We see different prophets called by God, anointed to speak on behalf of God to the people. So they stood as mediators. Amen. Someone say, I'm always standing and facing this side. Let me face this side. They stood as mediators and they pronounced the word of God to the people. Are you with me? That's prophets. But priests, they were anointed, but they also had to be specifically from the tribe of Levi. They were descendants of Aaron, and they had to be the ones that will now mediate and stand on behalf of the people to God. Are you with me? So the prophet stood on behalf of God to make pronouncements on behalf of God. They were orators of God. They will pronounce oracles of God. Then the priests, they were the ones that stood and mediated on behalf of the people. They were intercessors. They would intercede for the people from time to time. And they were the ones, they were facing God now. But the prophets were what? Facing the people. Now the kings were the ones anointed by God to mediate the law of God. Are you with me? So they were to stand and proclaim righteousness, justice, mercy in the nation. So to lead a nation, God anointed these three offices of priests, prophets, and king. And I want you to just, even if you, as you read Chronicles or Samuel or Kings, anytime there is no true prophet of God, you will see how the kings mess up. We are told that one of the reasons Solomon fell into so much trouble, if you read his story, is you don't see for once a prophet. So theologians speculate that it's very possible he thought himself too wise, right, that he needed a prophet. So no one was there like Nathan was for his father, and like how Samuel was there for Saul. But, you know, subsequently, other kings were wise, and like the story we did some weeks ago, where Jehoshaphat said, is there no prophet in Israel? And they sent for what? Elijah, right? But just look at it. Or it's either a king was in direct disobedience, like Ahab. Are you with me? So these three offices were supposed to rule the nation together. But every time we see that these people, in Nigerian parlance, they fall God's hand. They live less than, they don't live up to what God has called them. Every time. The greatest king in Israel, David, who touched on these three offices a bit because he was anointed as a king, but he had prophetic abilities, and for a period of time he operated in the office of a priest, even though he was not sanctioned to do it. But even David, as great as he was, we saw how he continued to live less than what the office demanded. Are you with me? So in the New Testament, we now see these offices, the fullness of them in the person of Christ Jesus. Glory to God. I'm going through all this because I want us, today I'm going to just dwell more on the priesthood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And I've tried to establish that word, that Jesus was anointed. Amen. He was anointed for the offices, the three offices. And we're going to see how he was anointed as a priest. So the author of Hebrews makes this argument that Jesus is our great high priest. But he's saying he's not like any other high priest, even though Jesus was from, because we know that in the nation of Israel, for you to be a priest, you had to be from the tribe of Levi, right? A descendant of Aaron, a descendant of Levi. But Jesus, we are told, is from the tribe of Judah. So he's saying the reason Jesus is not just a priest, but a great high priest, is because he is not like any other priest. He's not from the tribe of Levi. His priesthood is like that of Melchizedek. Amen. And the author of Hebrews links this story where Abraham had come back from a loot, and he sees this king priest called Melchizedek. And this man was the ruler of a city called Salem, and which is now the city of Jerusalem. And Abraham instinctively recognizes that this man is a man of God. And we are told that he gives a tenth of his loot to the priest Melchizedek. We are told that Melchizedek was just a priest of God. Now, many theologians also speculate that this is a Christophany. A Christophany are instances where Christ appears in the Old Testament. Are you with me? So this is one of some people speculate that Melchizedek in the Old Testament is actually Jesus Christ. But the important thing for this particular conversation that I want us to take home is that Jesus is a priest, but he's not like any other priest. He's not like the priests that come from the tribe of Levi, right? He's like a priest like that of Melchizedek, who we are told, it seems, he had no father, no mother, no history. He just shows up. He's a king. He's a priest. Abraham instinctively recognizes that and serves him, honors his office, honors his ministry by giving him a tenth of his loot. So the author of Hebrews is making this case that Jesus is a priest like Melchizedek. And why is that important? I have told you, everyone from the tribe of Levi, they failed at their duties. Are you with me? We see the sons of Samuel and even the sons of Aaron. Imagine the sons of Aaron. They just instituted them as priests. And the next day, I think it was the next day or so, they messed up and they died. God showing us that he does not take for granted this office. Samuel's sons desecrate the temple. They sleep with women. They collect things that don't belong to them. They basically just desecrate the office of the priest. So most priests, like I said, we will never find that one. So Jesus had to come from another order. Amen. And the author of Hebrews is making this case that Jesus is our mediator. He is our intercessor, not like the priest of the tribe of Levi, but like priests, but Jesus is a great high priest like that of Melchizedek. So Jesus right now, we are told, is our great high priest, and he's making intercessions for us. Remember, I told you priests, what? They stand on behalf of the people. Amen. So Jesus right now is making intercessions for us. He's standing on behalf of us and making intercessions. He's a spokesman for us. Amen. So, but here's the beautiful thing. All other Old Covenant priests, all other Old Testament priests, you know, when they approach, once a year they will enter the Holy of Holies, and because that place was filled with the presence of God, remember, that place, God wasn't there. It was his presence that was there. And they would enter, and if you did not do the full rites, the cleansing rites well, or you messed up in that place, you would die. So they had to tether them to a rope. Do you understand? And if they don't see the rope moving for a while, do you understand? They will be like, this guy, what's up? What's happening with him? They will pull. If he pulls back, they'll know he's safe. Are you with me? But Jesus doesn't need a tether. Amen. And once a year, the high priest, they will enter the hole. They will make sacrifices. They will try to speak on behalf of the nation and say, listen, God, we have sinned throughout the year. Here's the blood of goats. Here's the blood of sheep. Here's the sacrifice. I'm standing as a priest on behalf of the people. Forgive us our sins, oh God. Forgive us our sins, right? But here's the thing. Jesus is not just the great high priest. He is the object of sacrifice. Jesus is both the one that offers the sacrifice, and he is the sacrifice himself. Hallelujah. That's why he is a great high priest. So when we look at Jesus, Jesus is not dying again, because he is the perfect lamb. Amen. Once and for all, he gave himself on the cross for our sake to take away the sins of the world 2,000 years ago. So Jesus is not offering himself up every year, because he is the perfect lamb. And he's a perfect priest because he himself is perfect, and he does not come from any lineage. Like his office is not inherited from any man. Glory to God. So he's both the object of sacrifice. He's the subject of sacrifice. Jesus offers the sacrifice, and he is the sacrifice. Hallelujah. But every year, only the high priest, once a year, could enter the Holy of Holies, where the presence of God dwelt. And if you see the tabernacle or the temple, you will see that the Holy of Holies was the center, right? Only the high priest could get in, because he was the one anointed and sanctioned to. No one else could go into that place. And then we had the inner courts, the outer courts, and the further away from the Holy of Holies, the dirtier you are. And it now even came to, at Jesus' time, there was something they had introduced called the court of the Gentiles. And the court of the Gentiles were for people like you and I, who were not of Jewish heritage, or pardon me, were not Israelites, right? And because they will accept you to worship God, Yahweh, but you could not do certain things that they could do. So even if you believed in Yahweh, at most, all you could do when you gather to worship is you could probably attend the synagogues, or stand at the court of the Gentiles. And the court of the Gentiles is where you and I, at most, could experience God. But the closer you are to God, that's as you enter the Holy of Holies, the cleaner you have to be. Amen. And we are told that many priests, because of the sin in their hearts and because of how they desecrated the office, they would die there. So they had to be tethered, they tied ropes to them, and if this one dies, they would just pull him out and like, okay, bro, you've inherited your father's office now. Imagine if that's what you're inheriting. You'll be scared. But are you with me so far? Amen. So the more righteous you had to be, that's and the high priest was supposed to be the most righteous, right? Because he was anointed for that office and he could enter the Holy of Holies. But like we studied 3 weeks ago, that we are the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. That you and I are the righteousness of God, that our righteousness is not by works, but it is by faith in Christ Jesus. So right now, we do not need to stay at the outer courts or the court of the Gentiles. You and I right now can enter the Holy of Holies. So when Jesus died and the veil was torn from top to bottom, Jesus said, it is what? It is finished. That those who believe in him now have the same authority as priests, and we can enter the Holy of Holies. Glory to God. That we can enter the Holy of Holies and we can minister unto Yahweh. We do not need to clean ourselves up by works, but we trust in the finished works of Christ Jesus, and that we are righteous and that we are holy, and we can enter the Holy of Holies and minister unto God, and we can stand as mediators and intercessors. Amen. Amen. So you are a priest. I don't know what your former denomination was, but if the only person that was a priest was the pastor, it is not biblically accurate. We are told by Peter that we are a royal what? Priesthood. Apostle John, the apostle of the apocalypse says that, he says this, he enters into heaven. Let's read it. Revelations 5. God gives him a glimpse of heaven. If you find it, let's read from verse 9. If you found it, just start. Matthias, are you with the mic? Just give the person. Who wants to read? Ekemini, are you there? Okay. From verse 9. Okay. Yeah. Okay, let me just read it. Yeah. And they sing a new song because he had entered heaven, and he had seen, you know, the host of angels, the elders, everyone, they were worshiping God. And said, and they sing a new song, saying, worthy art thou to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou hast slain and didst purchase unto God with thy blood men of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Amen. Next, sir. And made them to be unto our God. Everybody, let's read this loud part together. A kingdom and priest and the reign upon the earth. Hallelujah. Other translation says, you have made unto them, unto our God, a kingdom of kings and priests. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So every one of us, every child of God, we also function in the office of the priest. Are you with me? We function in the office of the priest. That means we are called to be intercessors. We are called to be mediators. But listen, there is no other mediator between God and man except the man Christ Jesus. So God is our great high priest right now, seated by the right hand of God, ruling, reigning, ministering in intercession, amen, mediating on behalf of men. But we also are called to function in a way, in a smaller role or a lower role than Christ. So Christ is doing the whole job for the whole earth, right? But we now, in our offices, in our families, God is calling us to be priests. He's calling you to be intercessors. He has called you. You are a priest. Amen. So it's important that we start functioning in that capacity. That in your family, you are interceding for your siblings, interceding for your parents, interceding for your children. Amen. And as priests, this is not even gender specific, it's every one of us. So we hear often that you say, men, you are the priest in your home. No, it is the man and the woman that we are priests, because unless Revelations 5:10 is wrong, or unless Apostle Peter is wrong, but he has called us to be a holy nation, a royal priesthood. Hallelujah. That we are made unto God a kingdom of priests. So Jesus is the what? Perfect great high priest. He's the high priest. He is not, his office is not inherited from the tribe of Levi. His office of the priesthood is in order of that of Melchizedek. Amen. And David was the one who saw this in Psalm 110. He says, my Lord said to my Lord. Let's read Psalm 110 together so that you see it. The Lord said to my Lord, sit in the place of honor at my right hand until I humble your enemies, make them a footstool under your feet. The Lord will extend your powerful kingdom from Jerusalem. You will rule over your enemies. When you go to war, your people will serve you willingly, and you are arrayed in holy garments, and your strength will be renewed each day like the morning dew. The Lord has taken an oath and will not break his vow. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. You know, it's starting like David is talking about himself. Right? And he's starting like he's talking about a king. Because priests don't go to war. Right? He's talking as if he's talking about a king. Then he switches and he now says, about the same Lord that he's talking about. He says, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. So there's no way David was talking about himself. Because he knew where his office started and stopped. But he said, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. The Lord stands at your right hand to protect you. He will strike down many kings when his anger erupts. He will punish nations and fill their lands with corpses. Anyway, but you get what I'm trying to make. That David saw this centuries earlier and saw that Jesus, or the Messiah that was coming, the anointed one that was coming, was going to be not just a king, but a priest, and that his priesthood will be in the order of Melchizedek. Amen. And now we are kingdom of priests. You and I are priests, and our priesthood is in the order of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So we are called to be intercessors. We are called to be mediators. And I think that is something every one of us needs to grow into. We stand on behalf, I remember I told you the office of the priest, what stands on behalf of the people, right? You stand on behalf of your family, facing God, praying to him, ministering unto him on behalf of your family. Hallelujah. Recognizing that you have the authority to enter the Holy of Holies. Amen. That you have the authority, you have been sanctioned, you have been anointed with the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. So you have been anointed as a mediator in this particular office, as a priest in the order of Christ. And as Christ's priesthood is in the order of Melchizedek. Glory to God. So what does that look like in our daily lives? Prayer. Ministering. Do you understand? That we're making we are ministering unto God. We are interceding for our loved ones. That every day we stand in the office of our... Don't get me wrong. You're still a child of God, or you're still his son, you're still his daughter. Amen. But you need to now function in the office of the priesthood. Hallelujah. So you function in that by ministering unto God, praying unto him, mediate, standing as a mediator. Glory to God. It's something we must function in. So as angel Gabriel showed up in, as we saw in Luke 2, 2,000 years ago, to announce that the anointed one has come, the one that everyone has been pointing to will come. Because I've been enjoying, I'm tempted to enter the office of the prophet and king, but we're doing that over the course of the coming weeks. That everything that they've been looking forward to, the nation of Israel, everything they've been looking forward to, that the baby is going to be coming in, the baby Christ Jesus. I remember I said, when we say Jesus Christ, we're not calling a name and a surname. Hallelujah. We're calling Jesus and we're saying he is the anointed one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, as a priest, you know, they, like I said, they functioned in fear, right? Because you really needed to have done all the rites, the cleansing rites, all these other things before you could approach God. But now, I told you, we don't, the priest will lean on their works, they will lean on their righteousness. But now we have the righteousness of Christ Jesus. Then now the author of Hebrews now says that we should come boldly. Hallelujah. Let's read Hebrews 4, verse 16. He says we should come boldly to the throne of grace. Let's read from verse 14. He says, so then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, glory, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. Let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Hallelujah. So we can enter the Holy of Holies, not by our own strength, not on the strength of our sacrifices, not by how our lambs or goats are spotless or without blemish, but that you and I have the perfect lamb who was the sacrifice and who also offered the sacrifice. Glory to God. That we enter boldly, and that because this our great high priest knows our weaknesses, he's making intercessions on our behalf. So that now that we know this, Bible tells us we should hold firmly to what we know, hold firmly to what we believe, then come boldly to the throne of grace, come boldly to the Holy of Holies and obtain mercy. Hallelujah. We are no longer tethered, and people will be checking if we are dead or alive. Amen. And do you know the beautiful thing? I know we gather here and we gather here, this is church, and we trust that the presence of God is here. But do you know that as a priest of God, it's not when we gather on Sundays that this place is holy. Are you with me? One of the things, maybe I've not mentioned it this year enough, but in earlier days of tribal, first 2 years, I used to always say, we don't gather to worship, that we come worshiping. So as a priest of God, you are always in that Holy of Holies. Hallelujah. There's no building that can contain the presence of God or contain God himself. Amen. There is no building, no infrastructure that we can raise up that will contain God himself. Are you with me? Even Solomon, after he erected the temple, he says, I know that you cannot fill this place. But after they had offered sacrifices, what rested in the temple, it was the glory of God. His glory, not even God himself. Hallelujah, tribe. But because the veil was torn, the temple is no longer in Jerusalem. We are told that God now dwells in us. Hallelujah. That is why Paul said that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Do you know John looked at one of the things the Lord showed him in Revelations? He said he saw Jerusalem. Oh, was it Jerusalem? He saw Jerusalem and that there was no temple. Why was there no temple? Because now God dwelt in his children. Amen. So it's important how we start seeing ourselves. And when we gather here, I know we clean up, we look nice and all. But it's not so that we can come to worship God per se. We are supposed to come worshiping as priests. We are supposed to come as ministers. We've already been doing that during the week, the course of the week. But when we gather, it is as a group, as a collective, as a family that we are lifting up our ministries unto God. Amen. Are you with me? So I'm going to stop here. That's what I want to leave you with.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you were blessed by the message. To listen to more, consider subscribing, sharing, and rating the podcast. We love you.